If you would turn to Psalm 103, I'm only going to, just about three or four verses I'm going to share this morning. This is concluding a three-part series I've done, and I've been kind of, been a few weeks since I did the second part. But this is a conclusion entitled God's Benefit Package, Part 3. And we started out in Psalm 103, verse 1. I love this psalm. I always have. This is a wonderful psalm. I think one time when I was a young believer, a couple of us even memorized it. It's worthy to memorize. What we saw is, how many of y'all right now in your place of employment have some kind of a benefit package? Anybody? A health insurance or what? Investments? Right? What else? What other kind of benefit? Dental? Parking? Right? Prepaid legal? Free key to the executive washroom? Well, you know, even as in, it is a custom in our culture, in our employment, to have a benefit package. A lot of times when you're looking for a job, that's one of the things you're going to ask for, right? Particularly with the high cost of insurance these days, the liberal benefit packages often they're available. You know, so it is the Lord has a benefit package. And we really saw Psalm 103, where it says in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. King James reads, bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So this is his benefit package. This is what we can expect from the Lord. Okay, this is guaranteed. Jesus died on the cross to give us this stuff. And it's silly if you were to have, let me give you an example of not taking care, example of a benefit. I am in the financial services business part-time. And Mike Brown and I went to see a client, a friend of his, the other day. And he's been working with this company a long time. He's a young man. Well, he's not so young anymore, in his 40s. And he has a wonderful benefit package with his company. It's a 401k is a 10% matching. I have never heard of 10% matching in a 401k. That means whatever money he puts into investing, up to 10% of his salary, they'll match it. Enormous benefit. And this fella has never, how long has he worked there? 15 years. Never taken advantage of this. You know, had he just taken advantage of that simple thing, he would have an enormous nest egg of entrapment. He's never taken advantage of it to this day. So we're, you know, we're working with the fella and we want to help him. If nothing else, that's not to our advantage. That's his own. At least take advantage of, and I was thinking, you know, how many people are like that? They have enormous benefits of the Lord and they don't take advantage of it. That's a freebie. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to think, well, gosh, you mean if I put a dollar, they match my dollar. What a good return. You can't get that return anywhere. That's a 50% return on your money. Yeah, how many people have these advantages, these blessings, benefits, and they don't take advantage? They don't come to the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you that you died on the cross to bless me with these benefits. And we've delineated them with the first one is verse 3. Look at this. Who forgives all thy iniquities. You know, to walk around with guilt, to walk around with shame, to beat yourself up, to always trying to do better, this just means you're not availing yourself of the glory of his forgiveness. His mercies are new every morning. Amen? All we have to do is confess our sins. He's faithful. If God simply sees a heart of repentance, that's all that's necessary. A heart of, Lord, I turn around, I change my mind about my sin. I don't want, you know, instantly you're forgiven. You don't have to pay the price for your sin. That is an incredible deal. You know, if we had a room full of Muslims here, how many of y'all ever talked to someone that really, really into Islam? Or a room full of Hindus, a billionaire Muslims, all they do, all their life, is strive to please and atone and try to attain unto righteousness based upon good works. Hinduism is the same way. All they do, all they live for, all that. One time I was flying back from India, I'll never forget, flying back, and it's a long flight from Madras, India, New Delhi, India, and we landed in London. That's a long flight. And I wasn't quick enough. I didn't grab one of the three seats open where I could sleep. I was stuck there sitting upright for 9 hours in this flight. And I was sitting next to a Hindu girl. I've never shared this before. And She didn't speak English, but she was the most religious person I've ever seen. I'm sitting next to this girl for 9 hours. She would say prayers and mumble, and you know, and if you know anything about the Hindus, they always do this. They're always, anybody know what I'm talking about? They're always folding their hands, and it's the way they gesture. Very religious. She was religious. She would pray. She would bow her head. She would mumble. She would read these things. It went on for hours. I remember thinking, man, I'm glad I know Jesus. I just said, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your mercy and blood. I'm going to take me a good long nap. Amen? What a striving thing she was stuck in. So we forget. This is a benefit. Forgiveness. Jesus paid the price. Can any man? How many of y'all might ever struggle with guilt? Shame, condemnation, accusation. Folks, you have the authority in the name of Jesus to tell the devil, Satan, get thee behind me. May overcome him by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Because he forgives all my iniquities. What's the next one? Who heals all thy diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tenderness? We went through these. God, Jesus died that we could be healed. I don't believe every disease is healed every time, but I believe there is a grace of God to heal. And it is his will to heal. Now, but often he wants to heal different than we want to heal. He wants to heal from the inside out. We want to heal from the outside in, but that's okay. His heart is to heal. I've never prayed for anyone for healing that God doesn't do something. God always does something when you lay hands on the sick. Because he says, you lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. And he wants to heal us emotionally, heal us physically, heal us spiritually. Amen? Are y'all out there this morning? Who redeems your life from destruction. That's a wonderful one. How many of y'all drive on the Houston freeways? How much are you glad for that benefit? Who redeems your life from destruction. It's a miracle. Some of us even get to church. Of course, Sundays is not so bad. But I'm telling you, it's just nuts out there. Thank God for the 17 angels I have on my left bumper, 26 on my right. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I went into great detail about that. You know, a lot of people, what they wear is a crown of misery. Their mind is bound. But Jesus bore a crown of thorns and took piercings and shed blood so that our mind could be free. And he crowns us loving kindness. And today, I want to focus on verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth? Or NIV reads, your desires with good things. So your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is a wonderful promise. You know, the bottom line, what this says to me is nothing satisfies like Jesus. This is a warfare weapon. This is a warfare weapon against the enemy because Satan will come to you and say, you need to do this to be satisfied. Jesus plus. Now, I'm not saying there isn't joy and pleasure in certain things we do, obviously. But apart from the Lord, it'll never satisfy. How many of y'all know that? Never satisfied. We're always looking for the thing that will satisfy us. I was recently saw the movie Citizen Kane. It's a famous movie. Sherry gave me the DVD of it a couple of years ago, and I saw it a few months ago. I may have seen Citizen Kane. They say it's one of the best movies ever made by Orson Welles. It was really about William Randolph Hearst. And if you ever want to see an incredibly done movie, watch Citizen Kane. But it's all about, I'm not going to tell you I'm going to tell you the ending, because the ending is it really is amazing. It surprises you at the end. And I won't spoil it for you. But it's about a man, his entire life, who became wealthy beyond measure. In fact, at the end, it showed this warehouse full. Remember in the scene, the warehouse full with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of items and statues and articles he bought all over the world to fill his mansion. And yet he was fundamentally dissatisfied, lonely, and miserable because he was looking for something he lost when he was a little kid. He was like, all his life, he was trying to find something he had when he was young that was snatched from him. And I was thinking, you know, that's how we are. People, if they were wounded in your childhood or you lost it, you were always looking for something. Oh, you had a joy. We're always looking to re-experience what we had when we were little. You know what I'm saying? Some glorious moment, some wisp of the Spirit, where always all our people will travel across the world. What they're really looking for is something to satisfy them, something to touch, that meaningful. Really, it's spiritual, something to find that spiritual root. And there's a fascinating picture, in fact, turn here in Proverbs 9, of two voices that come at us every day. Look at this. I don't know if you've ever seen this. Well, I'm sure you have. Proverbs 9, you have two voices every day calling you. Proverbs 9:13, this is a voice that often beckons us from morning till night. A foolish woman is clamorous and simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoever is simple, let him come in here. And for him that wants understanding, she says, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knows not that the dead are there. And her guests are in the depths of hell. You know, there's always a voice trying to entice us, lure us, seduce us to do something dishonest, to do something unrighteous, to try to find meaning and purpose in something stolen, in something unlawful, in something wicked, in something evil, in something enticing. Am I right? How many of y'all turn on the TV? What kind of voices come out of the TV all day long? Hello, in the media. Come, find satisfaction, meaning. If you just had this product, you'd be happy. How many of y'all ever got dissatisfied? You went off on a shopping spree, and you felt really good when you bought all that stuff. About a week later, you felt like you had to go on another shopping spree to get that feeling again. Hello? How many of y'all felt like you just pig out, and you gorge, and you feel good, but you feel empty down the line? Nothing satisfies in this life. But look at the other voice. Verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn out her seven pillars. She has killed her killing her beast, mingled her wine, furnished her table, and she sent forth her maidens who cry upon the highest place of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in hither. Same. Notice it's to the same people the other woman called. And whoever that wants understanding, she says, come, look, eat of what? My bread and drink of the wine. There it is. Y'all recognize the bread and wine? What does that speak to you? Communion. Did you want to see something fascinating in this verse? It says she has killed her killing and mingled her wine. She slew beast. There was a death with a mingled wine. And she offered bread and wine. Does anybody see Calvary in these passages? It's a beautiful type of Jesus died. His blood came forth with water. He held up the wine and said, this is my blood. And that's what this is. She killed her killing. She mingled her wine. And she says, come, eat bread and wine. Folks, that's the only thing that satisfies. Back to Psalm 103. I'll tell you one thing I've learned. God has been really good to me and blessed me over my life to travel a lot of places. When I was a little kid, my dad loved to take two-week vacations, and we'd always go different places. We went to Hot Springs. We went to North Carolina. We went to Mexico, Acapulco, Taxco. We went a lot of places. It was always a fun time. And then when I became an adult, through this ministry, God has opened a lot of doors, and I've been able to go a lot of really cool places. In various places around the country, all over the United States, Central, South America, now in the Far East. Seen a lot of stuff that at one time I used to think, boy, I'd love to go here and see this and do that and be there. You know what I found out? It's great. I don't mind being there. It's okay. But, you know, it isn't satisfying. I like to travel. But, you know, a lot of times the reason people travel is they're trying to find and go somewhere that maybe that'll fill me up. Maybe that'll satisfy. Maybe if I could just have the perfect vacation and have everything just right and everything lined up, I'll finally feel satisfied. Am I know what I'm talking about? Did you know you can be satisfied right there in your chair in the morning having a quiet time with Jesus? You can find something in the Spirit so that it's okay to go and find. But you can find it right there where you are. There's a scripture that says, be still and know what? And I'm God. He's found in the quiet places of the inside. When you find God, when you face God, when you enter the Spirit realm, The glory of the spirit realm. Nothing satisfies like the spirit realm. When you catch a glimpse of the glory to come, oh man. Amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You know what that means? God is always working behind the scenes for you. If somebody is speaking evil of you, oppressing you, bad-mouthing you, doing you wrong, if at work things are not righteous or just, I've been involved with some, let's just say, political situations in my office, in my business of late. Sherry knows about this. Bo knows about it. Tell you how office have politics. And one of the leaders there the other day, we had a big meeting, and she does not know the Lord. She's a good lady. And she has a knowledge of the Lord. She's Catholic. But she doesn't know the Lord. And we were in a meeting, and what came down at the end of the meeting was really frustrating to her and discouraging, given what the directive was. And I could see it all over. So it was wonderful. I've known this lady for 2 years. I was able to go over. She knows I'm a pastor. But I was able to put my hand on her shoulder and say, look. And I started talking to her about the Lord. And saying, you know, I don't know. This isn't where it is. It doesn't. Whatever's coming down, that's okay. Just go on. God will try to reason with her. God, it's all about the Lord. And she was very polite and heard me and nodded. And then a moment later, what came to my mouth, she didn't hear a word. Just the hurt, the frustration. It's like she didn't understand that there's a God that's going to make things right. Everything's going to be lined out. Justice will happen. She didn't understand that. I do. Somebody does something with this, whatever. You know, if you don't deal with it now, believe me, it's going to be ironed out in the end. You know what I mean? Remember the life of Joseph? Do you think Joseph had a clue what was going on behind the scenes the whole time? In the prison? Or that time candlestick maker or the baker or whatever the guy was that forgot about him, remember? 2 more years? I mean, I'm sure he was fresh. But little did he know, God was totally working behind the scenes. Totally. And when the day came, he was elevated from the prison to the prime ministry in one day. God is always working and networking behind the scenes for you. In fact, look at verse 19. We looked at the other verses. We're going to close this up. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. Here's the thing you need to know from that verse. Is God has everything under control right now. He is sovereign. He has everything under control right now. Whatever's bugging you, whatever you're afraid of, whatever you think's unjust, unequal, it's not ruffling his everlasting feathers. He has everything under control. And you can trust him. You can rely on him, who is ultimately everything's going to come even. Every valley will be exalted, every hill will be laid low, right? That which is crooked will be made straight. Everything will be made. That which is whispered in the dark will be shouted on the housetop. Everything will be made right. So you can trust in the Lord. And if you're being wronged or unjustly treated or not getting your fair share, you can say, okay, that's okay. I cast it on the Lord. The scripture tells us in Peter, it's actually a glory to you if when you are done wrong and you don't demand right and you give it to the Lord, God undertakes for you. And the real wisdom in that, something happened recently with a contractor with us, and we've been having a lot of work done at the house, and one of the contractors didn't do right by us, and Sherry tried to talk to them, and then she said, okay, that's it. I'm just going to give them over to the Lord. And did you leave a message on the phone that said, I give you over to the Lord? Well, the guy who heard that, he goes to a big religious church. He probably thought, oh, good, you give me over to the Lord. He didn't understand what she meant. What she was meaning was, you ain't hearing me. God, give me over to the Lord. God's going to have to show you that what you did was lacking in integrity. How many of y'all know God's going to do it? As a child of God, Sherry went the length to appeal to this guy, to entreat this guy. He wouldn't listen. Okay, here. I'll give you the Lord. God will do it. Amen? And you had peace after that, right? You felt a release. God will deal with it. The last, to close this chapter up now, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Let me read this to you. You got to see this. In the Hebrew, bless the Lord that excel in strength. The word excel, listen, means the angels that excel means powerful, valiant warriors. It says that the word strength is vigorous with capacity and force. What it is, the scene, you got to see this in Psalm 103. Stay with me here, y'all. Wake up. Psalm 103, the whole psalm has been about the blessings and the benefits of God. And the closing verses, he shifts the scene to the spiritual world. I want you to see this. In the closing verses of the psalm, he's been in the natural realm the whole time. Healing, forgiveness. He talks about how God's mercy. And he shifts into the spirit. It's like all of a sudden heaven's open. He says, look, now that you know the benefit, I want you to see really what's operative. It's almost like he's lifting the hood. I want to show you the engine. I want to show you how this thing works. That's really the closing verses of Psalm 103. He says, God's in control. He's sovereign over all. You can trust him. Now let me show you how it works. Bless the Lord, you his angels. You powerful, valiant warriors with vigorous capacity and force that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, you hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. In fact, if you look at Psalm 104:4, it carries on, who makes his angel spirits his ministers of flaming fire. See, what he's saying is there is a powerful, unbelievable, enormous, incredible resource available to us all the time. And it's the angels of God. And that's what's working. That's how all these things in Psalm 103 work. They all work through the angelic ministry. It's angels. What do you think's working behind the scenes? We have no clue. The proximity, the intimacy, the repetitive daily involvement the angels of God have in our life. We have no clue. If we got a glimpse, I think we would repent. Can you hear me? Far more than we do. How many of y'all know there was angelic ministry involved in your getting up this morning? Some of y'all said, man, you need a big one to pull me out of bed. See, today was that cursed day in the United States where we had to push our clocks, what was it, up. Oh, Lord. Everybody moans about it, loves it in October, though, right? You got that extra hour. So you know, 6 months you'll be lacking. No, I hope you're not. But you know, I'm telling you, once in a while the Lord gives me glimpses of the... I mean, you can't even say it. It can't be spoken in English. This is how it is. That's the only way I can express it in tongues. I'm serious. The glory of the infinite in the minute. The glory of the infinite in the infinitesimal. The infinite is involved in the infinitesimal. The Bible says not a sparrow falls, but your Father knows it. Do you know not a leaf blows, but the Father knows it? Do y'all believe that? Not an ant crawls, but the Father knows it. Not a microbe moves, but not a cell splits, but the Father knows it. He inhabits every atom of the universe. In fact, it says in Colossians that all things are held together by him. If you study physics, I had to take a course in it in my career past. If you study about the atomic power of man, elements, man has put terminologies to this smallest, most indivisible. The actual Greek word is atomos. It's where we get atom. And what the word atom means is indivisible. It is that which cannot be divided further. Of course, we have found a way to split it. But all we do in splitting it is we dissemble it and it just reverberates and chain reacts to other atoms. It can't be split. It's the indivisible nature. And what's puzzled physicists is what holds that sucker together? Because there is no logic in what holds orbits. It's the same thing, macro as micro. Why is the Earth and all of this going around the sun? Why is the sun, the Milky Way? Why are the galaxies? This entire universe is like a Swiss clock. But they don't understand. Einstein himself did not understand gravity. He didn't. He had theories about it. In fact, they say his closing work was trying to come to a comprehension of what gravity really was. He had philosophies of gravity. But gravity is an unknown. What is it? That because one force, one matter is next to a larger matter, the smaller matter is drawn to it. What is that? Nobody knows to this day. Now, we understand it. It's a reality. What is the force that holds it all together down to the atomic? You know what it is? What is causes that? What is it that goes around? The electron around the neutron? Proton? You know what it is? It's Jesus. Colossians 1 says, he holds all things together. I believe he holds every atom together. There's some angel. It's the atom holder together angel. And there's a lot of them. Trillions and trillions of atom holding together angels. And they're holding every atom together. So when a leaf blows, man, that's a bunch of atoms. Amen? When a speck, God knows every speck. He says he knows the number. Was that hairs on your head? And some of y'all confusing him every day when you brush your hair. Could you pull him out? He has to renumber it. Some of y'all, it doesn't take him long to count. What I'm trying to get to you is to somehow, in my words, to get a glimpse of the infinite in the infinitesimal. The absolute involvement of God in every tiny, itty-bitty instant of your life. He's there. He's aware. And one day, we see through a glass darkly now, in a riddle. One day, we'll see clearly. And we'll go, whoa. All things are in him, of him, to him, and through him. He is above all things, and all things flow with him. Amen. He is the glory of the universe. We're reading a book called Great Divorce right now by C.S. Lewis. I love this allegory in our small group. This is the sixth time I've read it. But what the guys who hadn't read it know, you're in this great expanse called hell. Remember that? Those that haven't read the book find out that they're in heaven. All of hell is smaller than a tiny speck on a blade of leaf, on a blade of grass. Those in hell think they're this expanse of millions of miles, but in reality, it's a tiny speck on a blade of grass compared to the glories of heaven. See, it's all about faith. You say, well, how come I don't see this now? How come maybe I'm catching a glimpse of what you're preaching, preacher, but most of my life it seems like just life is humdrum and hard and issues, this and that. You know why? Because it's all about faith. It's all about faith. God's just trying to see if you'll love him in this reality where he's hard to see. Right? He's not as evident. He's trying to say, are you going to love me? When you're full of all the enticements and things trying to pull you away, he's trying to say, who loves me in spite of it all? It's all about love. Because one day he'll lift the veil. In this whole universe, it says, the whole universe, he says in Psalm 102 and Hebrews 1, he will take the entire universe and fold it up as a man folds up his garment and puts it in the closet. The whole universe. And he will give us a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So there's a reason behind everything. And the reason is simple. Do you love the Lord? Do you have faith? Or do you approach everything with faith? Jesus is here. Jesus is doing something in this. I'm going to be faithful. Amen? Our reward is about faithfulness. Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. So the preaching of the word under the anointing is to open our eyes of faith, and we can catch a glimpse of the truth of reality. The Lord is in charge. That's what Psalm 103 is. It's a wonderful psalm. God wants you to take these things and take them as warfare weapons against the enemy. Praise God. He forgives me, Satan. He heals me. He is about delivering me. I have a promise from him. He will set me free from captivity. I don't have to live in bondage. He guards me. He's got angels all around me. I can put oil around my house. Who is it? The bishops told me, Jeff said the other day, they poured oil around the perimeter of their property. We did that around my house years ago. Anointed it. We can anoint our oil. We have a protective barrier of angelic beings. Doesn't mean once in a while something doesn't blow through. Yeah, because we're in a warfare. But even then, Jesus is redeeming. I mean, Satan blew through here just a few weeks ago, big time. We had because of some stuff going on in our missionary outreach. It's okay. The Lord has shown me. I totally redeemed it. Even certain creatures died. Now, a bunch of animals, pets, died. It's okay. Jesus gave revelation of the life to come I've never seen. He literally showed me. That's okay. I'll checkmate the devil. I don't care what he throws at you. I'm going to show you one more bit to keep your heart hoping and trusting there's a life to come. He did it for Job. Job lost everything, including his kids. God said, no problem. No biggie. I just want to deal with what's in your heart. Let's get that Leviathan out of there. Now, I'm going to give it all back to you twice fold, many fold, Job. And I know he gave security in his heart about all that he lost. And he knew. We can trust him, amen. How many of y'all want to walk by faith? This is it, man. The testing of your faith. And the way faith works out, it's real simple. Keep praising him. Keep giving thanks. Keep acknowledging him all your ways. Don't let... What's that thing? Don't let something get you down. Don't let the alligators get you down. Whatever. Don't let the turkeys get you down. Whatever it is. Somebody called me this week. They said, how you doing? I said, I'm up to my alligators and ears, man. I said, well, I don't think I said that right. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are faithful. Now forgive us and help us to be faithful. To trust you with all our heart. To not be cowards, weak. To draw strength from the Lord, to face every adversity and trial, giving thanks, rejoicing, acknowledging you, and taking the authority we have as sons and daughters of God, executing righteousness and judgment on this earth. Lord, I pray that you would lift us and elevate us to walk in the sonship that you've given us. You don't want us to be babies. You want us to grow up and advance the kingdom of God in this world, that your kingdom would come. And your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we ask you, Lord, now, if you agree with me, if you agree with what I pray, just say yes to the Lord. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our choices that have brought on calamity, self-pity, fear, unbelief, complaining, murmuring. Forgive us, Lord. We choose to thank you, acknowledge you in all our ways. We know that you're sovereign, you're at work in ways we don't have a clue. You just want us to grow up. And no matter what we lose in life, even our own life, we will gain it manyfold. We have nothing to fear. Come, Holy Spirit, now. I just pray a blessing over each one, Lord. Bless those whose heart is perfect toward you, whose heart is earnest and desirous to please the Lord, to love the Lord, to praise the Lord, to be a willing handmaiden or servant of the Lord. Not my will, but yours be done. Be it unto me according to thy word, the handmaid of the Lord said. Lord, help that surrender come in our life. There's no smarter thing in the universe than to surrender utterly to Jesus. the stupidest thing in the universe is to withhold and to hang on to our will. Lord, reason with us to trust you with all, everything in us, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Can we sing that song? I want everybody to close your eyes right now. While your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask the Lord to open your spiritual eyes. Do it, Lord. While our natural eyes are closed, come and open our spiritual eyes to see and behold and grasp, comprehend, understand, and discern, Lord, the glory, the intimacy, and the reality of the living God who is closer to us than we are to our very selves. Come, open our eyes to glimpse Shontoloma, that the eyes of her eyes is opened. Open our spiritual eyes. From thy light we shall see light. Jesus. Do it, Lord. I just had a vision just now of someone coming out of a dark room in a room full of light. And you know how when you do that, you're kind of like this, you're kind of trying to adjust. I just saw that. They were trying to adjust because they've been in the darkness and God wants to give them light. Lord, come. Adjust her eyes to the glare of your light. Interior. Not to be hesitant or shy. Open our eyes wide to thy light, O Lord. The light of God, Jesus. Hallelujah. And station an angel there and keep our eyes open. I just speak a blessing now, Lord. Seal what you've done today. I bless our outreach today, Father, that heartfelt, real, genuine encounters would occur today with hurting, needy, desperate people. Everybody said.